Blog Talk Radio.
This is the national premiere Soccer League show hosted by Daniel Feuerstein, the show dedicated to the NPSL club and the fans. Your host, Daniel Feuerstein.
And good evening, National Premier Soccer League fans, and welcome back to the Feuerstein's Fire American Soccer Show, as this will be the second show to discuss those expansion clubs coming into the National Premier Soccer League. And originally, this was supposed to be the first show last week, but due to technical difficulties, was not able to have a show last Thursday, which I was very grateful and happy to work with, once again, Gary Moody, Communications Officer of the North of the National Premier Soccer League, to have this show back this week and the following Thursday, which was, of course, this Thursday. So I'm very, very happy to have this show on and to continue on talking about the National Premier Soccer League. So we're going to talk to those clubs originally scheduled for last Thursday, now for this Thursday, and it's going to be a lot of fun, and it's going to be exciting, and I cannot wait. You know, it just has to be said that I like to give these clubs their first opportunity to talk about being in the league, why they want to be in this league, why they feel they deserve to be in this league. And it's really, really interesting to get their thoughts about being a part of the National Premier Soccer League. And I enjoy that because, look, the truth is I want this game to grow in the United States. I truly want this game to grow and get bigger and better. And that also means for all the leagues, as high up as Major League Soccer, in the middle, the United Soccer Leagues, both Championship League and League One, and of course League Two, NISA, but also below in the National Premier Soccer League. And when you want all our leagues to be healthy, competitive, and strong, this, my friends, this is what we are looking for. These clubs that want to be a part, they want to be a part of a league that they can call their own. And it's just absolutely fantastic to talk to these teams that are coming in and wanting to be a part of it. You got to make sure the game grows the right way and properly. I always enjoy talking to these new teams that come in and they want to show, that they are ready to tackle what is coming in front of them. Whether it be a brand new team or they are a team that's coming over from another league to become a part of the NPSL. That's the truth. Because once again, it's about making all of our leagues stronger. Making all of our leagues stronger and making the sport better in the United States. We cannot, and I repeat this, we cannot stress why and how these teams coming into any league, or at least coming into this sport, wants to make the game better and to make the American player better. We must always continue to make the sport better and bigger and healthier. Because if we continue to do that, then everything will be better, more positive, And for and honestly, I just think it just proves to all of us. It just proves to all of us that the National Premier Soccer League will just be as healthy and strong like the other leagues in American soccer. It is always fun to have these conversations with these clubs. You know, when I remember Gary Moody asking me if I would like to do a show like this, you know, I thought about it, and I just said to myself, why not? I said to myself, why not? I mean, I always talk about the Open Cup because I always want to give the teams below Major League Soccer a fair opportunity to have a conversation about what they've done on the pitch, trying to knock out a team that's higher than they are, and give those teams the opportunity to be in the spotlight. I want to make this show into a true American soccer show. Because if you can't do that, then it's not really an American soccer show. Yes, it's an, you know, you want to talk about MLS, it's fine. I like to talk about MLS too, because I want to talk about everybody and anybody involved in the game. As big of the cities like New York, Boston, Chicago, Los Angeles, Miami, Orlando, Dallas, Houston, to the in-betweeners, even though Pittsburgh is a good city too, but they're in between. Detroit's a good city too, but now they're in the middle. But when you talk to these people from the different parts of the nation, like the smaller clubs in Miami, the smaller clubs in New York, the smaller clubs in Michigan, in Texas, in California, in Oregon, in Minnesota, in Ohio, in Massachusetts. You know, you give those clubs that opportunity. What's been going on right now, ever since Annapolis has the clause, the Annapolis Blues, I should say, the Blues, and they have that little crab as part of their crest. And look at the amount of people that are going to watch their games, over 6,000 of them are going to watch the Annapolis Blues play soccer at the football stadium for the Naval Academy. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. It just goes to show you that it's not just about Major League Soccer. It's also about the sport in this country. And when you talk to those clubs coming into the NPSL and you preview their opportunity to be in the Open Cup, that's even better for me and better for you. Because why? Because I'll tell you why. Because it gives them that little jump to get the juices flowing, not just to get ready for you know, getting ready for their season, but being ready for Open Cup season. Just absolutely fantastic. So, you know, like I keep saying, this 2024 MPSL season is going to be exciting. It's going to be fun. I cannot wait myself. We are definitely going to have some fun. And once again, it's a brand new season. It is a brand new season of the National Premier Soccer League. Now, obviously, some games have already started. The rest has finally started falling in. It's just got to be ready to go and enjoy ourselves and have some fun. And this is why I like talking about the NPSL. because you hear the same passion from these owners that are involved. They have their businesses as well, but they love the game. They're involved in the game. They are involved. They want to do things. They want to have some fun. And they want to get involved. And that's great. It's always wonderful to hear what they want to do and how they want to be perceived. And, you know, as my colleague Carter Krishnar always says, you know, community driven. And that's always fun to see. To see how the community works when they talk about being involved in this game. See, it's easy to follow a club in Europe. It's hard, very, very hard, to stick with this sport in this country. And even though it's getting better and better and more people are getting involved, that, my friends, is something that we should all be concentrating on. Growing this game, being a part of the fabric of sports conversation, not just the podcasting, not just the reporting, but also allowing it to grow and be a part of the conversation, just like the NFL, the NBA, the NHL, and Major League Baseball, and golf and tennis and everything else. That's what we're talking about here. That's what I'm talking about here. We have a plethora of soccer communities across this country. They just have to find a way to keep that going. And when they do, and when we are finally at the top, and when they are finally at the top, we have made it. That's for sure. We've made it as MLS, we've made it as USL, we've made it as NISA, we've made it as NPSL, all as one, without a doubt. Without a doubt. This, my friends, is what we've been wanting and what we've been waiting for. So as we get ready to talk to these expansion clubs in the National Premier Soccer League, it is exciting to once again welcome new teams coming in, here. And we can talk about anything and everything, moving on and seeing where these teams are going to be at, how they're going to face these opponents in their conferences, and it should be fun and it should be exciting, and I cannot wait. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I have a great show for you here, all National Premier Soccer League fans. As we get ready to talk to these clubs about the NPSL. Hopefully this is my first guest tonight. He is the club partner of Flower City Union coming in. Good friend of mine, of course, Mr. Mark Washoe, joining me to talk about Flower City Union. Mark, good evening, and how are you?
Good evening, Daniel. I'm doing great. How about yourself? And thanks for having me. Much appreciated, as always.
It's great to have you, as always. Obviously, Flower Thanks. City Union, based out of Rochester, New York, in Western New York State. You know, you're coming from not just coming from another league, this club, but you're coming from the championship that you won in that league, now being a part of the National Premier Soccer League. What was it like for you, if I can ask you, going to, you know, winning a title in NISA and now going here to the NPSL?
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, last season was just super exciting by every measure, obviously. And, you know, we kind of had a up and down season, and there were times when it looked like we weren't going to make the playoffs. And then all of a sudden we kind of snuck our way in, and then we had to go to three different, you know, road games to finally win the championship. So we had to go all the way out to Los Angeles. Then we had to go to Chattanooga, and then we had to go to Michigan, all in the span of maybe like 14 or 15 days total. So to be in a position where we ended up going to Michigan, won that game, hoisted the cup, fight a lot of odds and things against us all year, and again, that up-and-down season was really, you know, great accumulation to the end of that whole season last year. So super exciting, and to your point, you know, we were in the NISA League, and so really for our club, and, you know, since we started Flower City Union, it was really about being a club for the community. It was really about creating something that's sustainable and that is going to build and grow as time goes on. So, you know, as you get into off seasons and you start evaluating, you know, different options and where we were at from all measurements, you know, financially, fan base wise, sponsorship wise, and all those things, we made a decision that it was better to, you know, change into the NPSL and to continue to use, you know, the platform that NPSL provides to continue to build and grow Flower City Union and our brand, and also Flower City 1872, which is our women's team, in a different women's league, of course. But so really, honestly, we retained our coach, and, you know, the same philosophy is there, the same mentality is there. We have an assistant coach that's there. We have a general manager that was pretty much with us through most of last season and was part of the championship. So we've got some continuity, and really it doesn't feel like things have changed all that much, candidly. The way the trainings are conducted, the way our first game went, even though we didn't get the result we wanted, but just the atmosphere in our stadium. So, Daniel, truthfully, it kind of just feels like we're just continuing on as we've always been since we pretty much launched everything.
That's great to hear. It's the same as always. You never really change, you know, anything internally. The only thing you did is just change leagues. And I'm glad to hear you did join the NPSL for Flower City Union. You know, I always like to talk about this, and, you know, I always love to hear it from you, of course, because you've experienced everything from the top level in MLS, the middle level, I guess, NISA, and now, you know, other levels of American soccer now in the NPSL. What is it about the Rochester, New York area, as well as the Western New York area, that you have an abundance of talented players that want to come and be a part of this club?
No, that's a great question, and to your point, there's just a rooted history of soccer here in Rochester, and a lot of people say it goes back into the Lancer days, back in the NASL days, and when, you know, Pele came here and the Cosmos and things like that, but it actually even goes further than that. This was a really robust amateur club and adult club market all the way back from different ethnic communities, and you know, so if you really go back, it goes back even further than the NASL. So to be in a position where we're the club wearing the crest and colors, representing Rochester, New York, the Flower City, and to be able to kind of continue this forward has been, you know, really exciting. And to your point, there's just such a great talent pool here of local players that play indoor during the winter months, and players that have gone to Division I schools. We have six or seven players or so that we're providing housing for this year. So we're able to attract some players from out of the market in addition to all the players that are here. But to your point, we didn't really need to attract as many people from players from out of the market because it is such a a really vibrant soccer community. You know, you go to a high school sectional game in the fall, for example, and sometimes there's going to be 3,000, 4,000, or 5,000 people there. And that's been that way since the 80s, when I was in high school and all my brothers played soccer here in Rochester as they played for Penfield back then. So, yeah, they're just a really vibrant soccer community all throughout, a lot of talent here, a lot of great youth programs, a lot of great players. So, and, you know, it's interesting, Danny, you mentioned being part of soccer at all levels. There's a whole bunch of posts this week about the Columbus Crew Stadium opening up. And that's been 25 years already, which is really remarkable and hard to believe in many ways. And there's a lot of people that were part of MLS back then. We were all kind of sharing notes and text messages and phone calls this week. And we all remember back then it was like, wow, that was the first soccer-specific stadium to ever open in America. And we have one of those right here in Rochester that we get to play in. But it's amazing to see how much this sport has grown at all levels, in particular MLS, but even in the lower division. So to think that it's been 25 years since that first soccer-specific stadium was built is pretty crazy when you really think about it. And you look how far it's come, it's very remarkable. But there's still a long ways to go, right? And we still haven't hit the quote-unquote tipping point. So, yeah, just a great deep talent pool here for sure. Rochester and a great history here for soccer, just no doubt.
No, it really is. And, you know, who else but you, you know, being back in the Western New York Rochester area to really enhance that level, especially here for the NPSL. And that's been very wonderful to see, you know. You know, you're coming to this league and you've been placed in the Great Lakes Conference. You're going to have a Western New York rivalry with Niagara 1812. That's going to be amazing. And then you're going to take on these other clubs. It's not a cupcake conference, that's for sure. Akron City, Cleveland SC, Erie Commodores, Michigan Rangers, Southern Indiana Guardians, which will be an expansion team in this conference, and Steel City FC out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. What does this mean for you to take on these clubs, you know, in Western Pennsylvania, Ohio, and state of Michigan?
Yeah, no, that's a great question in the sense that it's interesting because when we were coming into the NPSL and you kind of look at their conferences, there is another conference that is a little bit more kind of in the Northeast region, which kind of goes east instead of going kind of more, you know, west and central, per se, and both created kind of unique potential rivalries and things like that. But where we ended up is great because, you know, we are technically a Great Lakes city, and to be able to kind of wrap around the Great Lakes as we, you know, play these various opponents, and some are in big markets. You know, some of those cities are cities bigger than Rochester, and you know, for example, even the Steel City that we played during our home opener, you know, Pittsburgh is a great market. It's a major league market, right, because of the Steelers and the Pirates. And so to be able to play some of these clubs that are in this league that are still in a big city in our geographic region where pretty much we can bus or take vans or what have you traveling-wise, you know, ground transport is nice. And I think what that does is it allows our fans to be able to travel to these away markets and to support us on the road. We had a nice Pittsburgh contingent come for our opening match this past Saturday in Rochester. So I think that's another nice thing about the league that we're in and these regional rivalries that could creep up and the idea that fans can, you know, travel by car or just do a quick overnight if they want to come and support their team on the road and vice versa. I think it's really exciting. And we weren't always able to do that last year. Obviously, when we were in the playoff chase, for example, and we had to go to Los Angeles, only a handful of fans were able to actually go there. So when we ended up playing Michigan in the championship match, we had a lot more fans that could travel. So I think all these markets are obviously way closer geographically, and I think it'll create more rivalries, more fans traveling to and from the games, and ultimately just really, again, help build our fan base and help build those regional rivalries, and I think it makes it all more exciting in a lot of ways.
Now, normally, you know, I know you probably let your head coach, you know, handle what type of tactics and formations that he would like to play, but if I could just pique your interest, if you don't mind, what type of style do you like your club to play in? What, you know, since you're remaining the same way from the last league into the NPSL, if I can ask you that, what style do you like playing right now for this club?
Sure. I think, and Jordan Sullivan is our head coach. He's coming back for a second season. And again, he had a little bit, you know, there were some rocky moments last year. And one of our owners in particular, Jimmy, who lives out in Los Angeles, sometimes had, you know, would be, you know, critical of the way we were playing or what have you. And I think with our guys, it's very similar from the mentality last year. It's, you know, they're going to work hard. They're going to train for and prepare for the matches very well. Jordan does a lot of great work preparing the team and watching film and things like that. And, you know, there's definitely the attacking mindset where we want to stay aggressive. We want to score goals. We don't want to be this kind of, you know, pack it back and just play very defensively. Now, sometimes, though, when you play aggressively and you kind of play with that mentality that Jordan likes to play with, sometimes your player, you know, you're going to make mistakes and you're going to have fouls and you're going to have maybe even dangerous penalties around the penalty box. And we certainly had our share of those situations last year, which were frustrating. When you look at an overall game, you say, well, maybe we had more possession, maybe we had more shots on goal, but we end up losing 2-1. And why did we lose 2-1 was because maybe we made some of those mistakes. So I think it's going to be there's still an aggressive mindset, trying to push forward, trying to score goals. And I think that's what people like to come and see, and they think it's exciting. And I can share with you, when I was the president of the Rochester Rhinos and the chief business officer, we had another head coach that had more of a defensive, Bob Lilly, who's now in, you know, Pittsburgh. But and it was a different mentality. So I think our mentality is more open play, a little bit more aggressive, trying to score goals. Of course, sometimes there's the risk-reward factor that goes with that, and that's always going to be the challenge when you play that kind of style, where you're going to have to make sure those mistakes don't happen consistently. But that's really the way we play. And again, it comes down to that work ethic, preparation, and I think you're going to see a lot of exciting soccer when you come to see us play this season. And even though we lost on the weekend, we still had a really exciting game, and we had a lot of chances, and you're always going to end up getting results when you have that kind of mentality.
I'd like to ask you a personal question, because, like I said, you've seen it all at all levels of this game in this country, up and down the pyramid of American soccer. What gives you the satisfaction when, you know, you see this game at the top level, in your opinion, you know, player-wise, health-wise, you know, financially stable-wise, and then, you know, everything that Rochester, New York has gone through, and you are right now holding the torch for the game in that city?
Well, first, yeah, no, that's a good question as well, and I think interesting. And it's interesting, just as I've been around, to your point, Major League Soccer and soccer teams at all these levels. And, you know, way back when we started Major League Soccer, there was just this really a lot of cohesion between the front office and the players and the coaches. And we were truly like one big family, and we got to know each other, and we got to know each other's families and husbands and wives and girlfriends and boyfriends. I mentioned that because I also ran the women's team for a period of time with the Washington Freedom. And really, it comes down to what's gratifying is when you can kind of create that, almost that family kind of feeling within your system and within your club. And I would say that Flower City Union felt very much like that as we were progressing through the season last year. And Casey Callen, who's our GM that came in, started doing some good team bonding things, like, you know, simple things like going bowling one night or having picnics and dinners out. And when you kind of get to that situation where you feel like there's a lot of togetherness, everybody's kind of supporting each other, there's a common drive that you want to be the best and you want to win. And as I look through my career, like, I've been fortunate because the clubs that I've been with, for the most part, have been that way. And, you know, those are special moments. And then when the community gets to interact and know some of these players, whether they see us out at a charity walk or a run or maybe post-match somewhere, when they get to go on the field, this kind of collective togetherness is really exciting. And even though we are, again, technically semi-professional and an amateur club, we're still running things in a professional manner, making sure that the locker room environment is professional, making sure when we travel we have itineraries that have good timelines, mm-hmm. and, you know, meals on the road. So it is creating that professional club culture. And yes, I think that's what it takes, and that's the important thing, and that's what kind of separates the clubs that players want to come play for and be a part of from maybe the ones where it's not as, you know, exciting or desire to be there. And I think that's kind of what we're trying to carry with this club. And to your point, yep. to be part of that, because it is multiple people, right? It's not just one or two people. It's a whole club community that's there. Yeah, it creates a great environment. So anyway, that's kind of the thing that we take away the most. And again, we were recognized at City Hall, by the way, last couple of weeks ago. The mayor, county executive was there. All the media was there, and to hoist that trophy
right.
in front of our local community and fans was incredible. So
that's great.
Yeah. So it's been exciting
that's
sure.
Awesome.
And we're only getting started. We got a bright future ahead, and we're going to keep things moving, and we're committed for the long term. And platforms like this to get the word out and tell people what we're doing. We greatly appreciate it, Daniel.
Absolutely. Mark, as always, thank you for joining me tonight. Hope to have you back on again soon. Good luck this year with Flower
yes.
City Union. Have a good night, sir. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and thanks for covering soccer at all levels, including Flower City Union and MPSL. Thank you, Daniel. Have a good
thank
night.
Thank you, Mark Wash. Thank you. Have a good night as well. That's Mark Washo from Flower City Union, the club partner. And my next guest for the real expansion team, this is the sporting director of Bristol Rhythm AFC, Andrew Rota, joining me tonight. Andrew, good evening, and how are you?
Oh, I can't complain. Not too bad. How about yourself?
Doing very well. Thank you very much for your time. Now, Bristol, the city itself, very interesting story about this town. Sitting on top of a divider of two states, please tell the audience about where this city is located.
So Bristol, for you guys that don't know, is a city that splits Virginia and Tennessee. It's kind of the state street, the main street, splits the two entities or the two states. And Bristol is more famously known for or known as the birthplace of country music, but it's also known for the Bristol NASCAR. Bristol Speedway is a great sporting event that's in the area. So it's a town that is known for its sporting prowess, if I can put it that way.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. So as the sporting director, first of all, if you don't mind me asking, where are you originally from, if you don't mind?
So I'm originally from Cape Town, South Africa. The journey from Cape Town to Bristol is quite an interesting one, and if I dive into that, we'll be here the whole evening. Basically got a scholarship to come play soccer in the U.S., spent my time at King University, which is my alma mater. Graduated from there, but I've spent some time playing in the NPSL, and that's kind of what attracted us and got me to this point.
Absolutely, and that's fantastic to hear. So is this the idea of getting a fan base from both sides of that state border to bring over all these fans, and why it's also called Bristol Rhythm?
Yes, 100%. So fortunately for us, we find ourselves in a great situation where we can attract fans from the Tennessee side as well as from the Virginia side, as well as support and facilities and all that great stuff. So, again, I think it's fantastic that our location is great. You know, obviously with the states, different states have different regulations, and so fortunately for us, we can kind of dance and find kind of the perfect fit for ourselves. So Bristol is a great place. Love the community. And I think it showed when we had 1,200 supporters show up to our first home game. I think that's amazing. And that just shows the great support that we do have from both the Tennessee side and the Virginia side.
Very true. And that's great to hear. So obviously you are the sporting director and, you know, the head coach that you talk to, who is that and what type of style does he like to play on the pitch? Not asking for the playbook, but just curious to know, you know, do you like to attack? Do you like to, you know, counter press, you know, bunker in and then do something special? What type of club you like to be when you're on the pitch?
So the exciting thing, our head coach is actually from England, so Louis Sharp. He plays the English style is kind of traditionally known, not so much to the modern day, but traditionally known as a more direct style. where we kind of get on the same page is we like to put the ball down and connect to feet. That's the beautiful game that everybody wants to see. However, the most exciting thing about the soccer match or a football game is scoring goals. And I think we encourage a very attacking style of play that pushes forward. Can we win the ball high up on the pitch, high press, and then look to connect a couple of passes and get the ball in the back of the net? So that's kind of the stuff. Without me giving you the playbook, that's kind of the style we're looking to play.
That's fantastic to hear. And, of course, with the ownership group coming in here, how did you get involved with this ownership group? And, you know, why did they want to be a part of the NPSL?
So if I'm going to, it's actually quite an interesting story. And the times I've shared it, many people have found it kind of difficult to believe. But we started off, this kind of started off as a pocket dream. Myself and a couple of friends were playing video games, FIFA, which is one of arguably the best FIFA, the best video game in the world. And we said, what would it look like to take the product that we see on the TV and put it in real life and bring it to the great community of Bristol? So we kind of started digging around, you know, contacted the league. I'd had experience playing actually at AFC Mobile down in the south, playing NPSL for 2 seasons, and I had a fantastic experience. I think the best thing about it was the fan engagement. And so we settled on, okay, let's settle with the NPSL. We had a meeting with the league. They gave us the figures, and as newly college graduates, we looked at each other and said, there's no way we can make this possible. So we then went and had a couple of meetings, met with Matt and Diane, who are a part of the investment group, and they said, hey, we love your idea. The passion is great. We've seen you do, because I ran some private lessons with their son. We've seen you coach on the field, and we love it. Let's do this. And I was actually shocked and surprised by how enthusiastic they were about the idea. If I'm being honest with you, it was just over a week from the meeting we had with the NPSL, where they gave us the figures, to actually putting pen to paper with Matt and Diane and the investment group and kind of, okay, let's do this. So again, it comes from a video game, which I know sounds a little bit crazy, and we kind of took that dream and turned it into a reality.
No, listen, why not? I mean, you got to give credit to EA Sports for creating the FIFA game. You know,
yeah.
Brings out the passion out of all of us. And why not, you know? I mean, if you're going to show it, you might as well do it. And, you know, just get on out there and try and bring a community together in that sense. Now, obviously, the main goal is to make the playoffs, obviously, and to win a championship. But how much are you and everyone else at the club looking forward to hopefully getting into the U.S. Open Cup for next year?
It's amazing. I mean, for every team that is involved in the NPSL and the leagues above would be, I would go out and say they would be lying if they didn't say that making the U.S. Open Cup is not one of their, not a priority, because for some teams it's unattainable, but it's a dream, you know, and like I said, with the origin story of the Bristol Rhythm was a dream, you know. It started as a dream. So it's massive for an NPSL club. I think it's the closest thing we can get to the European system, where it's promotion, relegation, you know. The smaller teams are allowed to dream. And I'm a massive fan of the U.S. Open Cup, because it allows us as an NPSL team to dream. You know, we could play against an Atlanta United. We could get drawn against a Charlotte. You never know. One of my biggest footballing or soccer philosophies is the field is the same size for everybody. Both teams have 11v11. And on the day, you might get a little bit of luck and anything could happen. So it's a massive dream, and I love it because it gives us as a club something to push towards.
Absolutely, and that's the one thing that I always love talking about. It is the Open Cup, because that's where we all celebrate the sport as a whole in the United States. Now, let's talk about the conference you're in. Very, very difficult conference. You'll be taking on 865 Alliance, Apotheos FC, Appalachian FC, Charlottetown Hops FC, Greenville United, and your two other expansion club conference mates in Hickory FC and Port City FC. What makes this conference difficult, but at the same time a bit challenging for a club like Bristol Rhythm that's just getting started?
So if we look at, and we've dived myself in the coaching staff, we've dived into it and looked at the history of the teams in the conference. If you look at FFC, they started a couple of years ago. Their first season didn't really pick up a result. I mean, don't fact check me on this, but I believe they didn't win a single game their first year. Second year, they turned around and ended up winning it all and going into the U.S. Open Cup. Apotheos, we know them, very, very strong team. They made it to the finals of the NPSL last season. So the conference is very, very strong. New expansion team. I think it's, you know, sink or swim. Okay, I guess that's the best analogy, you know, taking a team and chucking them at the deep end and kind of seeing, okay, if you really have the ambitions to be in this league and being a mainstay, you either got to sink or swim. So the conference is great. It's fantastic. I mean, the promise we have to our players when we attract them and bring them in is say, listen, we are a new team, but the one thing we can guarantee you is exposure. You know, myself as a Division II player that played in the NPSL, everybody I played with was all Division I. So we really push the dream that as a Division II player, you are good enough. You just need to be put in the correct environment. So Division II, we have NAIA, we have some JUCO players, a couple of D1 players. So getting the right combination of boys in and saying, listen, maybe you didn't get the correct deal with regards to colleges and you think you should be playing at a higher level, now we are going to give you the opportunity to play against these D1 players, you know, and former pro players. Show me what you can do. So my big selling point to the players and kind of opportunity for them is, listen, I will give you exposure. You know, what you do with it from there on out is entirely up to you, but we will give you that exposure to showcase the skills that you have.
Very true. Who should we be looking out for on Bristol Rhythm? Who has tickled your fancy during the, I guess, tryouts to see who's going to make the club or not? Who do you like so far?
So that's the question that's going to get me in trouble, but I'll not ask
I
you
know,
to.
But I have to ask.
I'm a huge fan of our right back, James Buckle. He played at Milligan, who made the NAIA National Conference. We have Stooge, who's another winger from Milligan, who made the National Conference. That's really exciting. We have two boys from Mobile, University of Mobile, Joe and Adam. So it looks good. The team is good. There's a bunch of players. Obviously, there's excitement. The fortunate thing for me is, and I told the boys, I said, we've always had an open and honest conversation to where it's like, we'll give you the opportunity, regardless of where you come from, take the opportunity and perform. And I do think we have a few players that I haven't mentioned that could surprise us. We'll be getting one or two new players in, you know, as the college season kind of comes to an end. So we're looking forward to it, and it's going to be exciting. But those are the boys that I have on my list right now that I think could excite. I mean, we have Mate, who's a 10, Hayden Grubb, you know, a large majority of our squad is a testament to Paddy Sweeney, who's the head coach at Milligan, who spent some time coaching a couple of national teams across the country. He's done a very, very good job at developing his players, and I've just gone, hey, can I get 5 of your boys? And he's like, oh, yes, go for it. And then I think when we had 1,200 fans out at our game, he really enjoyed the spectacle. So it was good.
That's absolutely fantastic to hear. And you know what? I really think it's going to be a great year for Bristol Rhythm AFC. Andrew, thank you for your time. I truly appreciate it. I hope you have a good evening and good luck this season in the National Premier Soccer League.
Oh, thank you so much. We'll enjoy it. Look forward to speaking to you again.
Absolutely. You have a good night now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. That is Mr. Andrew Rota, sporting director of the Bristol Rhythm, as they're getting ready for their season right now. And, of course, my next guest, he is the head coach of this brand-new club called Columbus United FC, Mr. Brett Teach, joining us tonight. Brett, good evening, and how are you?
I'm good. Just getting off the training field, so I'm glad I was able to catch up with you guys tonight. It's interesting you have me following Bristol. I went to college in Bristol at King University, so it's always good to hear how things are in my old stomping grounds.
And that's absolutely fantastic, and hopefully you'll make a trip over there somewhere down the road. Now, for those of us that we know Columbus, Ohio, is that where the club is also located, or is it a different Columbus in a different state?
It's in Columbus, Georgia, which is the second largest city in Georgia. It's about an hour and a half south of Atlanta. You know, and it's the hometown of our two owners. They really wanted to have a bunch of owners, but Michael Hitchcock, who owns several of the teams in the league or his partners in several leagues, and then John Dale Hester, who's our primary owner. Those two guys both grew up in this community here in Columbus, Georgia, and I actually coached both of them. So back many, many years ago in another life. So and John Dale, our principal owner, actually played for me at Oglethorpe University back in, well, more years than I'd like to admit.
Well, then I'm going to have to ask you this question. Was Hitch a good player or a bad player? No, I'm just kidding.
No, he's actually really good. And another interesting story, his son just spent the last 5 years playing for me at Virginia Commonwealth University. So I recently moved from VCU to Mount St. Mary's as the head coach, but Hitch's kid played for us at VCU, and that's also where Hitch played. So it's a really good kind of really connected story with all of us.
It really is. You know, I find it amazing how Hitch can always sweet talk his way of getting new owners to come in and be a part of the National Premier Soccer League. It's just really amazing to see him just finding these people. I don't know if he, you know, he plays the flute or if he's singing or maybe he's slipped something in the water. I don't know what it is, but he always finds a way to get these people involved.
Well, I think here, too, they're all his teammates from when he played down here. So these guys have known each other for 30, 40 years. And so they had a really successful club team back in the, I don't want to give Hitch away here, but the very early 90s, maybe a little bit late 80s, and they were all a big part of it. You know, our principal owner, J.D. Hester, or John Dale, and then, of course, Hitch, they were both kind of, you know, key members of that team. And so what they did is they had several from that team join in, and now they have an ownership group, even though JD kind of heads it up, and Hitch, obviously, you know, he's the brains of the outfit. So the rest of us just follow along, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. I hear you. Everyone's got the bug, and that's great to hear. So, Brett, let me ask you, obviously, as a head coach for this club, what type of style do you like to have out on the pitch when you have your players ready to go? I mean, I'm not asking for the playbook, obviously, but do you think is the winning mentality for how you want to coach this club?
Well, I'm very much about controlling the game through our possession. And so when we were putting together the roster, you know, basically what I did is went to all my friends and said, what I'm looking for, guys who can – keep the ball, who understand how to find space when there isn't really any, how to have clean first touches. Because I think there, for me, and I've done this is like my 38th year in college soccer, and I think what I've always found the most successful way is to make the game as predictable as possible when your opponents have the ball. So if you're really good on the ball, what ends up happening is you're going to have to solve 100 variables each game instead of 1,000 because you're going to have the ball, you're going to force them back, they're going to win it, they're going to try to counter, and so you try to position yourself accordingly, and the better you get with the ball, the better you get at manipulating space and opponents' timing and things like that, the more predictable it makes them, which now makes it easy to then win it, go back again and again and again and again. Now, it's the hardest way to play, because small mistakes can, you know, like we made a mistake against Naples, and it cost us a game, even though we played very, very well. And Naples is a quality side, and we were, And I think in the second half, I think we were unfortunate not to put a couple away. But, you know, again, life on the road, right?
Exactly, life on the road. And, look, you'll get the next game probably. I believe you will. I mean, it sounds like you've got your guys ready to go and have a lot of fun out there. Who should we be watching out for Columbus United right now? Who would you say is your danger players right now?
We're fortunate in that we do have a kind of a variety of guys that can hurt you in different ways. You know, I think it all starts, you know, with the guys in the back, you know, being able to control the game. And our right back, Jesus Mataya from the University of Cumberland, he's also Spanish. He is fantastic. He had a great game against Naples. He really does get up and down the line well. He gives us the ability to play. We have two really good strikers. We have Josiah Fontenot from West Florida, who was MVP of the conference tournament down there in the Division II league, and then with Carter Berg out of Mary Washington, a top four Division III program, second team All-American. We have three guys that are with me from VCU, Mohammed Tucker, Damian Gallegos. Damian was our leading scorer at VCU a couple times, and then Jonah Kanagwa, who was a four-year starter for us. He also functions as an assistant coach for the team. But, you know, quite frankly, then we have a kid named Javier Zata, who was the freshman of the year in the Atlantic Sun League for Stetson. But, honestly, we've got three kids from Rio Grande that can contribute. We really have a squad, and I think that week to week there's going to be real competition to see not only who gets in the 18, but who gets in the 11. And I think right now, you know, we'll start three or four different guys than we started last week because these guys have had really good weeks in training, and so they've earned the opportunity to play. So we'll be a little different looking lineup-wise than we were in our last match. But I think those would be the kind of guys you say, hey, they can in a moment hurt you. But I do think we have a lot of guys that can hurt you. I think it's just more of a, you know, it's really about how well do we get at manipulating the ball, how well do our guys understand their job, how well they understand our overall plan, and then how well they're able to execute it. And I think for about 60 minutes against Naples, I was really pleased. About 10, we were disastrous, and about the other 20 is back and forth. So I think we've made good strides this week. And again, we play a really tough team in New Orleans on Saturday night down there. And we open four of our first five games on the road. So welcome to the NPSL.
Exactly. Just talk about this Gulf Coast Sunshine Conference. Besides Naples and New Orleans that you'll be facing, there's also Global Soccer Pathways, Jacksonville Armada's under-23 squad, the Miami Dutch Lions, Pensacola FC, and Tallahassee SC. How difficult of a conference will this be? And are you? I mean, basically, you know, you're not expecting any favors here, are you?
No, I think what's really exciting for me, this is kind of one of the venues I've never coached in. I've coached everywhere else. You know, I've coached Division 1, 2, 3, NAI. I've coached club. I've done all that kind of stuff. I even had a short stint with a couple different national programs here in the U.S. But this is a new animal, right? We're together for 3 days, and we had a game. And half of us met, you know, on the first day. You know, it's like we never met other than during the recruiting process. So it really is like organizing a group and going to play, kind of like organizing a national team or whatever. And then you throw in the fact that all these clubs, or most of the clubs in our league, have been established for years. You know, New Orleans has been around forever, the Jesters and Tallahassee and Pensacola. And the way our league is set up, too, it's a little bit divisional. So we play Pensacola, Tallahassee, New Orleans multiple times. We play New Orleans twice. And I think we play the other two three times. So that makes up eight of our games, and then we play Naples in the other two. So we don't play Jacksonville. We don't play Miami. We don't play the global team. We don't play any of those teams. I think they're trying to minimize. Like, our first trip was 10 hours, and our second trip was 6 hours. So we're really, you know, we're logging the miles in our travel. And so I think that in an effort to keep, you know, keep the league a little bit saner, because Miami to New Orleans would be a decent trip. I think they decided to go division a little bit. So, yeah, we won't even see the other half really until really the final, because I believe the playoffs come through our half of it. So, again, our teams will know each other very well. We'll play each other. 8 of our games will be in our division. So it's going to be, you know, again, it's going to be, if you get a result somewhere, be happy with it, but then put it in your pocket because you got to do it again. And it's going to be, you know, we play several back-to-backs where we play Tallahassee at home and Tallahassee away. And you know how that is. You play 4 days earlier, and, you know, you hope whatever kind of challenges are left in the game before, but, you know, it's they're always really interesting battles. So I'm excited about that. I know the programs are all really well run and organized, and you know, I'm excited about the NPSL. I've really enjoyed getting to know it over the last 6 months as I went through the process of the hitch about putting this program together, and I just want to get it started, you know, on the right foot, and, you know, I love it too because I'm an Atlanta guy, and so my parents who are in their mid-80s get to watch us play, and I get to spend some of the summer with them, and, you know, at our age, you don't know how many years you have left with your parents, so you take advantage of those moments.
Exactly. If I can ask you this, obviously the big moment for this club would be making the playoffs and hopefully winning a championship, but do you think about also with the opportunity to qualify for the U.S. Open Cup?
Yeah, I think you look at it, or at least I look at it, it's really three different things at once, right? I think you have your league games, which are where you have to put your focus and your effort and your energy, and I really don't think you can look beyond those because if you do, quite frankly, you'll get beat. All these teams will beat you. But, you know, the playoffs, obviously, the better we get at what we do, the playoffs loom large, and you want to be one of those teams that gets that opportunity and winning that title, and then the opportunity to perhaps play a pro team or to, you know, play a team that in the Open Cup and make a little run. I think those are all in your mind. It's kind of like, you know, I'd compare it to like college soccer where you think all year about winning your conference tournament, but if you worry about that first, then you're not going to get there. So you have to take care of your league. So right now we've got to get as many points as we can over the next couple of games on the road. And see if we, you know, amass some points there, and then we got to defend our home field. And then I think everything else is always on the table for you, right? If you get in the playoffs, you can win the title. If you win the title, then obviously, like you said, you get an opportunity then to then play an even more impressive stage next spring. And I just, again, I think that those are all the carrots, if you will, that we put out there for our kids when we recruit them to come here. And I also use this, all the guys that we recruited essentially would like an opportunity to be a pro player one day. And so we took guys and we're trying to put them in an environment every day where they focus on this moment. Because if you worry about things that right now are out of our control, then really, quite frankly, you're aware of them, they're in your mind, but you have to focus on this moment, then next moment, then the next moment, next moment, next moment, or you'll get caught up and be results oriented. And yes, it's a results oriented game, but result comes from performance. So we're really trying to stress performance. You know, last game, like I said, we performed very well, but I'll steal a quote from my old boss: the game is honest and it shows you where you're not quite ready. And we weren't quite good enough in the final third, and we were a little too open defensively, and hopefully we've taken a step in that direction. But I believe in my group, and I believe that we can be very competitive at this level. And I have a bunch of guys that are hungry to prove themselves, and I'm actually really pleased and proud of how hard they're working, how much energy they're putting into it. And then also a big part of all Hitches clubs is how we are in the community. And this group has really adopted Columbus as home. They're out all week this week at 7 a.m. in schools. And, you know, it's just really trying to create – more of a global experience, not just about the 90 minutes each week. It's about the entirety of the experience for the players. And so I've been really proud and pleased with how they've adapted and how they've, you know, really formed a really tight-knit group. And I think, again, that'll all go into helping us perform, which then helps us to achieve the things we want to achieve.
Absolutely. Brett, thank you very much for your time. I really do appreciate it. Good luck this year with Columbus United, and I hope you have a successful season. You take care, sir.
All right. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, the head coach of Columbus United FC, Mr. Brett Teach, joining us tonight. My next guest He is the president of the new club, DMV Elite FC. This is Mr. Prosper Adangwa. Did I pronounce your last name correct, sir?
Yes, very correct.
Thank you very much. That's $10 for me. Anyway, no, I'm just kidding. what does the DMV stand for, if you could, please?
DMV stands for DC, Maryland, Virginia.
So you're in our metropolitan
mm-hmm. area.
Yeah. Okay. So you are in our nation's capital area in that district.
Yes, sir.
Wonderful. You know, I've had, you know, besides DC United, obviously, I mean, I've had clubs from Virginia and Maryland in our nation's capital. Of course, Agen Hawks is one of those clubs I've had on my show to talk about themselves. And from your perspective, why are there so many great, talented players in the Virginia, Maryland, Washington, D.C. area?
I think it has to do with diversity. This might be the most diverse area in the world, per se. And I think I see a lot of talent, you know, from all over the world. And it's just a great place to develop talent. Yeah.
So if I can ask you, who is the ownership group of this club and what drew you to join their vision of making DMV Elite FC to a club, and why the National Premier Soccer League?
Yes, DMV Elite FC is run by, it's a members-owned organization, and it is headed by myself and there's also the vice president, Mr. Manfred. He's a co-founder of the club. And we have Mr. Jay Jokikam and Mr. Kenny Zoni. And this is run as, like I said, members owned. And, you know, we just thought, you know, it is the right time to take this club to the next level. It's been just a year old club. And, you know, we just wanted to take it to the next level and provide opportunity for all the young, talented players that we see around the area.
Absolutely fantastic to hear that, and hopefully there'll be a lot of success for you in that club. Now, where will you be playing your games in the area?
Yeah, our home field is Venusberg High School Stadium, located in PG County. Prince George's County in Maryland. So we are actually based in Maryland. And yeah, we'll be playing out of that stadium. It's a beautiful stadium. It's a new turf laid down just about 3 months ago. And we think it is a great environment for starting this club at this level.
That's fantastic to hear. So who is going to be your head coach to start this new season for DMV Elite?
Great question. Our head coach is actually very pivotal in everything we do. His name is Coach Gustavo Onaindia. He's a CONMEBOL Pro licensed coach from Argentina. He's also a dual national with Spain. And he has coached at a very high level, including Celta de Vigo as an assistant. And he's coming at this level, even though, you know, he's a professional coach, but he's coming to instill the backbone of the club and lay a solid foundation for our operations going forward.
That is very cool to hear. I'm very glad to hear that, and it should be a lot of fun this upcoming season. So what type of style is he going to put out there? I'm not asking for, you know, what the game plan is for each and every match, but does he like to attack? Does he like to bunker in? Does he like to press? Does he like to counter? What type of – what in your mind should DMV Elite go towards when you're on the pitch for 90 minutes?
That's a great question. His style of play is the Marcelo Bielsa system, which is a high-pressure attacking system. And he actually inherited this style from his colleague, Celta de Vigo. That coach was actually the assistant coach to Marcelo Bielsa himself. So his name was Berizzo, and he worked closely with Coach Gustavo. They worked together in South America. They won the championship in Chile, and then they moved over to Celta de Vigo. And I think he loves the style of play, and that's what we look forward to having for the NBA AFC.
Absolutely, and that should be a lot of fun. Cannot wait to see what you and this club is going to do. Now, you are going to be playing in the Mid-Atlantic Conference, and this is I can tell you this right now, you've probably already played a match. This is a conference that's going to be very difficult. You have Alexandria Reds and the Rough Diamonds. You also have Annapolis Blues, FC Frederick, Grove United, Virginia Beach City FC, and Virginia Dream FC. What makes this Mid-Atlantic Conference so difficult for DMV Elite, and how are you going to try and navigate through this conference to make the playoffs?
Yes, we absolutely acknowledge the wonderful teams in this conference, and I think that is one of the reasons we joined to add to the competition. And, you know, we respect every opponent, and we think this is going to be great for competition and for the growth of soccer in the DMV.
Fantastic to hear this. Now, obviously, the goal is to make the playoffs and, of course, to try and win the NPSL championship. But if I can ask you this question, what would it mean for your club to qualify for the 2025 U.S. Open Cup once you reach a certain level in the playoffs?
It's going to be amazing, of course. I know every team wants to win, but especially for us, it's going to be great. However, not everyone can win. So what really matters is how we play, be it a win or lose or draw. You know, it all comes down to, you know, the manner of approach, and, you know, and then the outcome will speak for itself.
Very true, and that's going to be a very, very difficult journey. But you never know. We've seen clubs make amazing runs every now and then, and they surprise us if they reach the finals, wherever they get to. But hopefully for your club, you'll have that big moment coming in very, very soon. And moving on, you know, what does it mean for you to be involved with the game in this country? It just, you know, we always talk about certain things that, you know, we all hope will go right for the game in the United States. But what have you seen on your own personal level or on your own personal travels that the game has grown and is getting better and better each and every year?
Yes, there's a lot going on in the U.S. soccer these days. I believe it's fast growing. And I believe in the next 3 years, leading to the World Cup coming in the U.S., it's going to be amazing and a great opportunity to showcase talent and develop players. And, you know, it's going to be a great market. Personally, I deal with a lot of soccer. I'm a FIFA licensed agent, so I come across a lot of talent, you know, in the area in the United States, and I think the NPSL is a great platform to, you know, it's a great springboard for these talents to, you know, to gain their required exposure for the next level, especially, you know, players that have been, some of them who have been pro before and they're trying to bounce back. This is just a perfect platform, and we really, you know, appreciate the NPSL for making this happen.
Let me ask you this, and I rarely ask this question, but, you know, you are, like you said, you're an officially licensed agent through FIFA that you can sign players to different teams. What is that like when I would say, you know, you can probably get other players signed on other clubs, but are you allowed to sign your own players on your own club as an official agent?
No, I am not allowed because this is an amateur league and players are not signed to contracts.
I see.
However, you know, the players can play, you know, like I said, to use the league as a springboard to gain exposure to the very top. So this is one of the reasons why, you know, I started this project to be able to help the local talents in the area and all over the world to at least belong somewhere. And being under a coach like Gustavo, they're still going to gain the required professional training and experience required to play at the top.
No, that's fantastic to hear. And look, I'm glad that you're able to do that for, you know, other players to get an opportunity to be, you know, not just at this level, but to at least give them an opportunity to get watched and they can get signed anywhere else. And look, I'm glad that you're able to be a part of this project. I'm very happy to hear that, you know, you and the other owners wanted to be a part of the National Premier Soccer League. It is absolutely a great opportunity, you know, for yourself, I guess, as well, to be involved in, you know, running a club instead of, you know, I guess having a conversation with a club to talk about how to help a player, you know, get a contract and things like that.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure.
Absolutely. It's great. So I guess once again, as you said, you know, did you play in the U.S. or did you play anywhere else before taking this leadership role?
Yes. It's very interesting that I was actually one of the players of the in our debut season, you know, when we first started this club at a lower amateur level. I used to play local soccer just to, you know, just for fun. That I thought maybe I should take this, you know, to the next level. So I actually played here. Before that, I, you know, played back in my home country, Cameroon. And I also, you know, I've just been around the game for so long. I've grown up playing soccer, you know, watching soccer. I'm also a licensed U.S. soccer referee. Grassroots referee, so my whole life has been around soccer, and I feel like it's a great place to belong.
Wow, you got a lot of hands into anything and everything, don't you? That is fantastic, actually, to find out, you know, you're an agent, president of a club, you're also a referee. I mean, what else can you not do?
Yeah. That's just the fun of it.
Now, that's fantastic to hear. And so if I can ask you this, you know, when you get to watch basically, you know, African Cup of Nations matches or even World Cup qualifying matches, which, of course, they'll be starting this June, the next round of games, I believe, in CAF. How do you feel Cameroon is going to be, and do you feel that they will advance to the World Cup? It will be in the United States and Canada and Mexico, hopefully. The Cameroon will qualify.
Yeah, of course. That is the hope. Always, you know, I'm always rooting for Cameroon and my home country. They are one of the big names in the African soccer history. So, you know, I'm always going to support them. The team might not be in the best shape or form at the moment, but I believe they will bounce back very soon.
I believe so as well. Well, let me just say this, Prosper. Thank you very much for joining me tonight. I really do appreciate you coming on, talking about the club, and talking about yourself as well, because it's very educational to know what you've been doing, not just being a part of this club, but what you have done and what you're still doing is just wonderful to know about. Good luck this year in the National Premier Soccer League, and I hope you do well.
Thank you very much, and thanks for hosting me.
Thank you. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, that is Mr. Prosper Adangwa, president of DMV Elite, as they will be getting ready for their 2024 National Premier Soccer League season. Now waiting for my next guest, and Mr. Ruben Trevino of Geo's Lions SC Chicago, as we are awaiting for him to call in, or maybe there's an issue that I am not aware of, but hopefully we will have him on very soon. And would love to talk about this club named Geo's Lions SC Chicago. And we will find out what the situation will be about this club. He is the owner and president of the club. And for Geo's Lions, very interesting name, and that's the first time I've ever heard of something like that, but hey, why not? Let's see what happens. They'll be playing in the Gateway Conference. They'll be playing against Club Atletico St. Louis, Des Moines United, Etar Belleville, FC Milwaukee Torrance, Kansas City Soul, the Sunflower State FC, and the Wisconsin Conquerors. So we shall see what they will do. And, of course, once again, it's another club from Chicago. And all I can say is, Chicago is a time city with a lot of history when it comes to soccer. So all I can say is it's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen when they get involved. Another club in the city of Chicago, as we are waiting for Mr. Ruben Trevino to call in and talk to us about his club. And we'll see what the situation will be as we get ready to talk, hopefully, about this club in the city of Chicago. As I said, it's not just the Fire. It's also all those amateur clubs in Chicago moving. Moving on. And finding a way to go in there and just perform and do well. So we'll see, and we'll wait and see what's going to happen. And once again, we're just waiting for Mr. Ruben Trevino. If he is going to join us tonight to talk about the club. Would love to talk to him. And we will see what the situation will be when he does call in, hopefully. And we will see what they will do. Because, once again, you know, Chicago, it is a very, very big soccer community. Soccer background. and we will see what the situations are going to be. And all you can do is just go forward and wait and see what's going to happen. So all you can say is for Geo's Lions, it is we'll just find out what the situation will be. And hopefully we'll talk about the club when we move on here. And we'll see what the situations or will be for Geo's Lions. So once again, they're going to be playing in the Gateway Conference, taking on these clubs from Missouri, Iowa, Wisconsin, and it should be a lot of fun. Should be exciting. I cannot wait to see what they're going to do. I cannot wait to see what this, they're going to be able to go out there and have some fun. So we'll just wait and see what's going to happen with Geo's Lions moving forward as we're just waiting for the call in. And once again, it's going to be very interesting to see what's going to be moving on and we'll have to wait and see. So once again, this is the National Premier Soccer League show, the second show on expansion clubs. As we've already talked to, of course, clubs from last week on Friday. Talking to the clubs that unfortunately we couldn't get on last week due to technical difficulties. But now that we're able to have the show and all you can do is just hope. Hope and pray that you'll be able to get these guests on as much as you can. So we'll just have to wait and see what the situations will be. And hopefully we will have them ready to go. Gotta, of course, have a platform to talk to these people and hopefully have some more guests coming on the National Premier Soccer League show. And they'll be all on time, of course. But, you know, once again, this has been a lot of fun. This has been exciting. And it looks like we're not going to get Mr. Ruben Trevino on the show. Looks like something has come up. So we'll just wait for my last guest to come on. And we'll have to wait and see this situation will be. And, you know, like I said before, you know, I love talking to these owners and these other people involved in the game. Obviously, I always talk about Damon Gulkner from Denton, Mr. D'Alessandro, Sonny D'Alessandro from Tulsa Athletic. Love talking to, of course, Mark Washoe. Having on Mr. Brett Teach, just love to hear him talk about being a part of this. And hopefully we'll see if this is my next guest coming on and calling in, area code 219-226. And who is this, please?
This is Ruben Trevino, owner and president of Geo's Lions Soccer Club, Chicago, Illinois.
Hello, Ruben. How are you?
Good, good. How are you?
Very well. Thank you very much. So just real quick, just please inform the audience, who is Gio and why is it his Lions?
Oh, good question. You know, it really kind of goes to the heart of our mission and where we started. We started as a youth organization in the Chicagoland area in 2017, and unfortunately, in 2022, Gio is the son of the youth organization's president. After a game, he was just, you know, playing some two-touch on the sideline, and a ball went into the street, and he went to go chase it down, and he was very unfortunately hit by a car and then passed away the next day. And so in his memory, the team was renamed after Gio, and hence the name Gio's Lions.
Wow. That's very, very sad to hear that. Hopefully, you know, the club will do well. The club is going to do well under Gio's name moving forward. So, Ruben, if I can ask, obviously, why the National Premier Soccer League and why did you want to get involved?
So, you know, I did a little research in terms of, you know, what I see the vision of how organizations are going in the future. And, you know, a lot of youth organizations are having men's teams attached to them at a semi-pro level and higher. You know, we're kind of a young startup club, but we have found ourselves in a position where we do very, very good at developing players, so good that, you know, we get a lot of players kind of taken from us. And we really wanted to be able to create a holistic system where it's like, hey, you stay with our youth club, stick with us, and there's a higher level that you can play for within our organization, and you don't have to leave or go anywhere else to find those sort of opportunities. So this is really a first step. We haven't had you know, a lot of time to sort of create that holistic system, but you know, we wanted to start right away with the NPSL. To us, it was a higher level than some of the other offerings out there, a little bit more professional. The league's been around a little longer. The level of teams, players, and play we thought was a little bit higher for the tier that it's at. And so we jumped at the opportunity. And, you know, for us, the main mission and purpose and goal is to sort of give back to the youth from the youth soccer kids where we're from. It's a area where socioeconomically a little underserved. And, you know, I really feel wholeheartedly that if we give some of these kids the opportunity, and if they see, you know, some professional type level players, even though it's semi-pro, it's going to give them a goal to reach for and try for, and they're going to stick with soccer. And for us, unfortunately, it's, I want to see our young men stick with soccer versus, you know, joining a gang, or unfortunately, maybe, you know, starting a family at a very young age, or, you know, just, I've just seen too much high level talent kind of peter out at a young age because of essentially the street life. So that's kind of our mission in terms of, you know, honoring Gio, but also giving back to the kids that are a part of our organization And hopefully we become a magnet for other kids in similar circumstances.
You know, obviously, unfortunately, Ruben, I have to move on, but let me just do this. Ruben,
sure.
Are you available this Monday night to come back on the show?
I am, absolutely.
Good. So let's do this, Ruben. I have your number. This coming Monday night at 7:30 Central, I'll bring you back on because I want to give you the full 15. Is that okay?
Okay, sure. Yes, I appreciate it.
Wonderful. No, not a problem at all because I really want to get your story and get the club and get info on the club and everything else that's going along with it. So we got to move on, unfortunately, but I would love to have
sure.
you on this coming Monday night.
Excellent. Thank you.
You're very
Talk
welcome.
To you then.
Thank you. And I appreciate
Alrighty.
You. Talk to you on Monday night, okay?
Thank you. All right. Have a good evening.
You're welcome. You too, Ruben.
Bye
Thank
now.
You so much. Ruben Trevino, owner and president of Geo's Lions. We'll have him back on this coming Monday night to talk more about his club and get it going. My final guest tonight on the National Premier Soccer League show, he is the owner and president of the Minnesota Blizzard FC in Chad Hendricks. Chad, welcome to the show and good evening, sir. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. I'm good. Thanks for having me on the show. Appreciate it. Hopefully the best for last.
Oh,
we'll
I appreciate
see.
I you coming on. I appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much. So Minnesota Blizzard, why the Blizzard? Why is it the name? Well, obviously we all know why, because of the winters, but, you know, what is it about being in Minnesota? So much talent is in the state of Minnesota, is known as the state of soccer. Why did you want to start up a club?
You know, I mean, just personally, I love the game. I've been a huge fan of the game for all my life. I've been playing for 45 plus years and coaching for about 30 of those years and have a huge passion. I probably record every game I can and watch a lot of it worldwide with English Premier League and MLS and everything. So just passionate for the game and always wanted to start my own franchise. And, you know, trying to buy a franchise or something can be very pricey. So I thought I'd start with some grassroots kind of a team in Minnesota, where I've lived and grew up, and there is a lot of great soccer, as you said here. I think we had the national champion for Division III this year at St. Olaf College, and just a lot of good college soccer here. So I just wanted to tap into that. I didn't think there was enough of it here. We only have a couple teams in Minnesota in the NPSL, so really just trying to expand on that.
That's absolutely fantastic. Now, who will be your head coach for this club?
We've got Forrest Randall, who's our head coach. He and I have worked together in the past at the Lakeville Soccer Club, where I live and my son plays currently. But he runs the club, and he is working hard. He's actually got in process to get his National A license right now. So he's a fantastic coach, has a wealth of knowledge in the game, and does really well with players and development. So I'm super excited to have him as the head coach of the team.
Oh, that's awesome to hear. Now, if I can ask you this, your club will be playing in the North Conference. You're going to be taking on Dakota Fusion, Duluth FC, Joy St. Louis Park, a Minnesota rival in the Twin Stars, Sioux Falls Thunder, and Siouxland United. How difficult is this North Conference? And my goodness, you got your hands.
Yeah, you know, you're right. You know, you're absolutely right. It's a great conference. I mean, Duluth FC is probably the favorite. They qualified for the U.S. Open Cup this year and had a great showing in that in the first round, so that's amazing. They've got a lot of returning players. They're a strong team. I actually watched some of their game last night. They played the Joy Athletic team. We played Dakota Fusion this coming Saturday night up in Moorhead, so we're getting ready to play them. They're a strong team. They, I think, just good news for us, bad news for them. They lost their top player last year to the MLS Next. So he moved up a couple rungs in the ladder, and, you know, maybe they'll be a little bit more able to compete with them with a new club. We just played the Minnesota Twin Stars, our home opener, which was very early in the season. That's one thing I'll learn is to, you know, try to play a little, start our season next year a little later if we can. But we played the Twin Stars last Saturday night. We actually had a great showing. We lost 2-3, but we were ahead twice. The Stars kept fighting back and got the win against us. But, you know, I think we're, you know, I'm excited. We've got some really good players from the state. We've got some good players from out of state playing for us, and I think we'll be competitive. But it is going to be very tough. I'm not telling the guys, you know, we're going to win the division or even, you know, make the playoffs. I'm just like, hey, let's just have a competitive showing and see where the, you know, kind of the chips fall where they may. And I'm looking forward to just competing this year.
Absolutely. Now, obviously, the hope is to make the playoffs and, of course, win the NPSL championship. But, you know, obviously, there's a big caveat if you reach a certain level in the playoffs by qualifying for the U.S. Open Cup. How important is that to you and, of course, the club to hopefully get into that tournament for 2025?
You know, I'm trying to keep a realistic expectation as a new team, and you're just bringing guys together. I mean, we played our first game May 11th. We had five of our players show up that week, I mean, because they're just getting done with school and coming from out of state and stuff. So I'm trying to have a realistic expectation. While we still do, of course, want to make the playoffs, you want to win the division, you want to qualify for the U.S. Open Cup. These are all some of our goals for the season. You know, maybe it won't happen this year. We're going to go for it and give it our all. But, you know, kind of I'm looking at a long-term plan. And that, you know, at some point this year, next year, the following year, you know, qualifying for that cup would be an amazing achievement for a new team, you know, coming from scratch here, and just kind of, you know, definitely in the next couple of years, that's our goal. So if we get it this year, I'd be ecstatic. But yeah.
No, absolutely. I mean, look, if it does happen, hopefully, but if not, you know, look, at least you're trying out there, and we'll see what the situation will be, you know, for this season. But if I can also ask you this. Do you have a certain type of style? I mean, I know your head coach will handle all those situations, but what do you like personally? Do you like to see your team attack, bunker, you know, counter, press? What fits the Blizzard for Minnesota soccer?
Forrest Randall, our head coach's style, is similar to my style. My preference as a player was always a bit of a direct style of play, attack the other team and put them under pressure. You know, possession is obviously important. You have to possess the ball and have time with the ball. So it's kind of a mixed style, if you will, of possession and direct attacking of play. We're not just sending it long ball every time and trying to run under it and such, but I like to put the team under pressure. I've always been that way as a player, and I think, you know, taking guys on one-on-one I think is important, because if you win some of those battles, you can really break down the defense. That's my style of play. I think Coach Randall would add to that and say, you know, just playing a high press as well. So when the other team has possession, trying to put them under pressure and make them make mistakes, because you don't always have to steal the ball, but you can, you know, they can make a mistake and you can counterattack off of a mistake. So it's not a counterattacking style, but it's just high press one-on-one direct attacking. Appeals really a lot to our attacking players. They love that style of play. Of course, they want to go to goal and get goals. So that's kind of our mentality. And of course, one we have to adjust when you're playing strong teams like Duluth or something, but we'll try to be as flexible as possible. That's the other thing, is that being able to be versatile is important in soccer. You can't just play one way all the time. That's really our main focus.
Absolutely. If I can add, where will you be playing your home games this season?
Yeah, we're playing our home games right in Lakeville. So we're really, if you look at a map, you know, Minnesota Twin Stars are kind of in the center of the Minneapolis area. And Joy Athletic is in the western suburbs, and we're in the southern suburbs of the Twin Cities area. So we're playing at Lakeville North High School, 500 capacity seating, and maybe in the future we'll expand into a bigger venue. But it's one step at a time, if you will. So that's where our home games will be. So we're really focused on marketing and pushing the South Metro of the Twin Cities. So that's kind of our niche market.
That's absolutely fantastic to hear that. You know, once again, you know, just the love of this game is just wonderful. And, of course, like I've already said, just to see so many talented players all over this country, especially in certain parts of the country, because we always talk about New Jersey and St. Louis, California, of course, and in New York and Florida. But what makes Minnesota so special that there is so much talent in this state, north, south, east, west, somewhere in the middle? Why does Minnesota produce great players?
You know, I think there's a lot to be said about our youth programs in the area that really develop a lot of players. I mean, the Twin Cities metro area, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and all of the suburbs is close to 4 million people. So there's a large pool of people to kind of, you know, pick from, if you will. Some of our strong clubs around here, you know, there's St. Paul Club and there's a Minneapolis Club. Our Lakeville Club that I live in is very strong with, you know, just the volume of teams and the coaching that we get in our clubs. There's a lot of really strong teams in our that go into nationals and move on. So I think it's just really been developing from the grassroots, the youth, with the teams and the youth programs throughout the metro. Not just like one. There's not one super club or anything. There's many really strong clubs, and I think it really helps the competitiveness and the drive that, you know, Minnesota is known as the state of hockey, and no question we have strong hockey. But I think we're shifting. We're shifting, and we still keep that hockey in the winter, but we're getting a really strong summer spring program in soccer. So I'm super excited to tap into that.
Oh, that's great to hear. That is awesome to hear. And hopefully, once again, there will be some new Minnesotans coming up through the ranks and finding a way to just be, you know, another big name in that in the state of Minnesota, of course, that always develops all these great players. And I guess finally from me, you know, was this the ultimate dream to host, or not so much host, but to own a club in the NPSL? Why was the NPSL such a great place for this club, for the Blizzard?
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's sort of been a long-term dream for me, myself, to have my own club, or, you know, and run a club, if you will, and let the, you know, hire people to do all the work, and for the most part. But you know, this is a great fit, I think, for me. The NPSL is a great organization. The league itself, I think, it's a very strong and very supportive league. I talked to many owners before I, you know, jumped in, and they just couldn't say enough about the NPSL. I found from the supporting staff with the league has been awesome to help me as a new owner with lots of support and ideas as I'm getting going here. This, you know, really just started the team last December, so 6 months in, and we're playing games already. So it goes fast, but they're just super supportive, and you know, just the level of play is just, as you said, amazing. I think there was 12 or 13 players that moved from NPSL to MLS teams in the last year, or were drafted by the MLS teams in the last year. So this is some really good soccer. And I'm excited to be a part of it and just, you know, join the league and just really watch it flourish.
Absolutely. It's great to hear. And I'm very happy to see that, you know, you're bringing another club into the state of Minnesota. And it's going to be a really big battle this year and probably for years to come. Hopefully you'll still be successful after their inaugural season. It should be exciting. It should be a lot of fun. Chad, thank you for your time. I really do appreciate you coming on the show tonight. Good luck in your expansion year, and please do well, and I hope you come back on the show again.
Yeah, anytime. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. I'd love to talk soccer with anybody and everybody. So anytime, you want to set aside a couple hours, I'd be happy to just chat about soccer. So all good. Thanks a lot for having me.
Well, thank you for coming on. I really appreciate it. You have a good night.
Yeah. Yeah, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. And that's Mr. Chad Hendricks. He's the owner and president of the Minnesota Blizzard in the NPSL, the National Premier Soccer League, in the North Conference. I want to thank my guests tonight, Mark Washo, club partner of Flower City Union, Andrew Rota, sporting director of Bristol Rhythm AFC, Brett Teach, head coach of Columbus United, Prosper Adangwa, president of DMV Elite FC. And for those of you that were hoping for Mr. Trevino, unfortunately, with the segment time constraints, I'm going to have him on this coming Monday night on my regular Four Seasons Fire American Soccer show. So I want to give him the time once again, the full 15 to be on. So I want to make sure about that. This is, of course, he is the owner and president of Geo's Lions FC Chicago, and finally, owner and president of the Minnesota Blizzard in Chad Hendricks. My name is Daniel Feuerstein. Thank you for listening to me tonight. Join me for a regular Feuerstein's Fire American Soccer Show this coming Monday. Once again, this has been the National Premier Soccer League Show right here on the Feuerstein's Fire American Soccer Show. Have a good night. Take care. So long. And as always, please enjoy your football. Bye-bye for now. Take care, everybody.